Blog Talk Radio.
To the Stokers of Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers of Beer Radio Show. Stokers of Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time. Most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time. We're broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBESTWS, Chula Vista, California. Stokers of Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and talk about the sport he or she loves the most. We talk a lot about the NFL because this is a football talk show. We talk a lot about the NBA, baseball, Major League Baseball, National Hockey League. We talk about other sports, pie eating contests, camel racing, horse racing, dog racing, water polo. Whatever you consider a sport that comes across the monitor, we'll talk about it, we'll cover it. If we don't know about your sport, call in and tell us and teach us about it. If you don't know about what we're talking about, we'll teach you about our sport. All right, with that being said, let's get off into it, people. Let's get off into it. Today's topic is NBA Western Conference Finals. The host will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sports they love the most in front of a live global listening audience. Topics to include but not limited to LA Lakers versus the Denver Nuggets, and scores from breaking news from the NBA, NHL, MLB. All right, people. At the end of the day, we know what the big topic is. The big topic today is Ja Morant and the gun. Ja Morant and the gun incident. So I'm just trying to, let's try to put that in perspective right now. But before I get off into that, if you'd like to call in to the show, the call-in line to the show is going to be, I'm sorry, yeah, I lost my monitor there. The call-in show is going, call-in line to the show is going to be 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687. And call in, just put your hand up in queue, and then we'll come to you. Today's topic, again, is for those of you just tuning in, is NBA Western Conference Finals. Tonight, we got the Lakers versus the Nuggets in the big matchup. Tonight, we'll get to that in a minute. But again, the looming news that's going over the airwaves in sports today is the Ja Morant gun flashing incident. Let's be honest. Did the man commit a crime? No. Has he shot people? No. We just had another shooting in New Mexico this morning. 3 people dead, 8 or 9 people wounded. Throw some prayers up for those families that lost loved ones, that they got injured loved ones. Let's throw some prayers up to their family. And my condolences to the families that had loved ones lost in that latest shooting, which was yesterday, if I'm correct. Ja Morant, though, when you talk about him flashing a gun, Ja Morant isn't walking around here doing a mass shooting. The person with Ja Morant, from what I understand, has not walked around doing a mass shooting. They're just 2 young black men flashing guns. Sort of like our politician, I think she's a senator, Marjorie Taylor Greene, down in Atlanta. If I'm correct, she's got pictures with her guns. Dr. Oz got pictures of him with the gun at the gun range. You know, just certain ones. I mean, I'm all for the NRA. I'm all for people having the right to own a firearm. I plan on getting a couple myself because I need to get some with the way this world is going anyway. I need to be armed up. For that matter, we really all need to go get some gun training for some of these nuts doing these mass shootings so we can protect ourselves and our loved ones and our fellow man and fellow woman. With that being said, Ja Morant with the gun has not committed a crime. He's not doing a mass shooting. The man has a right as a young adult to own a firearm. He has that right. Now, do I understand what the NBA's take is on all this stuff as far as saying like, well, you know, it doesn't make our league look good? And I think that this is all stemming back from the Gilbert Arenas situation. I think another guy back in the day, the player that played for the New Jersey Nets back in the day. I think it might have been Jason Williams. I might be wrong, but it was a player. He wound up killing somebody by accident because he was showing some guns, messing around with some guns in the privacy of his own home, and the gun went off and the guy wound up getting shot. I think he wound up, facing a civil case. They were trying to put him in jail, but I think he wound up having to pay some money in a civil case. I don't think that young man got any jail time. If anybody out there listening knows the answer to that question, definitely let me know. You can send me a message through the Facebook on this platform, or you can hit me up on Twitter at Ferrand Sports, at capital FERRAND, Ferrand Sports, all together, and give me the answer to that. I forgot the young man's name that played for the New Jersey Nets a long time ago, before they were the Brooklyn Nets, I'm going to say maybe about 20 years ago, where he killed somebody in his house on accident. But going back to Ja Morant, and also let me comment on the Gilbert Arenas situation. The Gilbert Arenas situation, you know, gambling on the plane and a gun came out or whatever the case may be, something like that, or whatever the details were, Gilbert Arenas wound up getting a suspension for having a gun. So, I mean, I understand the NBA's take on a lot of this stuff. I understand the NBA's take on it. I really do. But at the same time, Ja Morant, I feel like, should he be suspended some games? No. Should he probably be fined for a team infraction, league infraction? You know, just fine him. Every time you flash a gun, take $25,000. And there you go. There you go. Take $25,000 and throw it off into the advocacy for responsible gun ownership. Make him pay for that. take $25,000 first, you know, the next infraction, $50,000 the next infraction, maximum cap $100,000, and throw it off into advocacy for responsible gun ownership and mental health checks before people can actually own a gun. That's how you do that. You flip the script. If you're gonna keep making infractions, we're gonna hit you in the pocket, and we're gonna make you pay into some of this stuff. Do you need to make him go to counseling for gun ownership and all this stuff and speaking on behalf of speaking on the Senate floor about why people shouldn't be able to have guns and all this? Excuse me. I don't think it should go that far. The point of what I'm saying is that this John Morant thing has been so big, it's overshadowing the big playoff game we got tonight, the Lakers versus the Nuggets tonight, and then even tomorrow the Miami Heat against the Boston Celtics. That's another big one. So this John Morant owning this gun, flashing this gun, has overshadowed this most exciting time of the conference finals. He flashed the gun. Did he shoot somebody? No. Did he shoot it? No. He has the right to own a gun. If he wants to be on TikTok dancing with his gun, if he's about that gun life, that's him. Like I said, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Dr. Oz, they were all on TV with their guns, advocating for the NRA and gun ownership. John Morant's done nothing any different. He's done nothing any different, people. So I think that we need to just come up off of it, you know, trying to fit these athletes in this box. And you say, well, athletes are supposed to be role models. Athletes are not supposed to be role models. Athletes are supposed to be just what they are, people that go to work every day and do their job and entertain us. That's what they do. That's what their job is, to go and play basketball, which provides entertainment for folk that go and do a regular job every day, a regular 9-to-5. We get off work, we want to sit down and enjoy our favorite team and our favorite player, and we sit back and play armchair quarterback the next day. That's what it's all about. As long as that man show up for work, and as far as I know, he done played hurt. He almost broke three of his fingers, I think, in the last playoff series where they got put out of. I forgot who put him out. But, you know, he messed his fingers up in that game. But he still came to play. So my whole thing is, as long as that man is showing up to work every day, I don't have no problem with John Morant flashing a gun. Would I advise it? Do I advise it? No. Do I condone it? No. Am I against it? I won't say I'm against it, but I also won't say that I condone it, if that makes sense. It's sort of like I wouldn't advise him to do that because it doesn't look good the way African-American young men with all this gang violence and all this stuff, you know, they're already looking at us like, you know, well, these young black athletes, these young rich athletes are basically young rich thugs. That's why they, you know, put in the dress code policy a while back for the NBA. They used to didn't have a dress code policy in the NBA, but then, you know, you got the Allen Iversons and all of them coming in with the cornrows in their hair and the chain, you know, it's just they want to change the image because they're looking at like, well, these young rich black kids are just rich thugs. Y'all change the dress code. Probably should always had a dress code, because everybody has a dress code when you go to your job. Everybody does. Whether you're wearing a uniform, you got to wear it a certain way. Whether you're wearing your regular clothes every day, you can't come in with certain stuff on. Political messages, sexual messages. There's certain things you can't come in with. So with that being said, you know, I'm just like, this whole thing about the image of the black athlete, it's it's already negative, and then when you throw guns in there, it makes it even worse. So I don't condone or advise what Ja Morant is doing, but I will say I'm not totally against what he's doing because he has the right to do it. He has the right to flash his guns. He has the right to own a gun. He has the right to TikTok his gun, dance with his gun. However, he doesn't have the right to pull out a gun in public. He doesn't have the right to pull out a gun in a nightclub. If we go back to Adam Pac-Man Jones segueing into the NFL, he had an incident where he was making it rain in the club. It was an all-out frenzy for over the money he was throwing up in there with the girls. Some security guard tried to, you know, tell him to stop doing something. They get into a fight. Some kind of gun came out. The security guard gets shot and paralyzed from the waist down. That's why you don't pull out a gun in a nightclub, in a strip club, in public. That's why you don't have a gun. So the club incident, I get it. Going upside a young man's, some young kid, 17-year-old kid's head, for whatever reason, they say he assaulted a kid or something. I don't condone violence in no form. I'm not saying Ja Morant is totally innocent on all this stuff and needs to be disciplined. All I'm saying is that he needs to clean up his business. As far as the gun itself, him showing a gun on TikTok, I really could care less, people. As long as he's not shooting that gun, committing no mass murders, I ain't worried about it. As far as like being a role model for young kids, I'm going to tell you something about young kids. Young kids are going to do whatever they're going to do anyway. It all starts from home training. And when home training fails, you never know what might pop off. When home training fails, you don't know what can happen. It's a toss-up. I'm thankful that I had good parents, that my mom took me to church about 3 times a week. My father was a man's man, not totally against church, but he wasn't a church goer. He was a man's man. So I got good religion, and I got good manhood on how to deal with myself in the streets and in the regular world, outside of the spiritual world. So my whole thing is, you know, a lot of these, you know, at home, it starts at home. Some kids coming from a broken home, it could go either way. Sometimes just a good up in you, oh, you know, no matter what you've been going through in your life, good sometimes can overtake evil. But it's all about a choice of the human being. You got a lot of kids out there that came from broken home, foster care, adopted care, went through all kind of abuse in their life, be it mental, sexual, verbal abuse in their life, and they still wind up being good people doing a lot of good things. The point I'm making is about this role model thing. These NBA players were never my role model coming up. I had my favorite players, but I'm not trying to emulate my life around no basketball player, around no football player. Because 9 times out of 10, most of us common folk ain't even physical freaks of nature to where we're going to be able to make a living in that league. The league has a concept called bigger, stronger, faster. When we're talking about bigger, stronger, faster, let's be honest, people. Most of us aren't going to make it when you're talking about bigger, stronger, faster. So I was never sitting around my home talking about, oh, hey, I'm going to be a NFL basketball player. Let me emulate Isaiah Thomas. Let me emulate Michael Jordan. I didn't play basketball in high school. I played football in high school up until, you know, right around my senior year. I think I made it through spring training camp, made it through summer camp, and then I wound up quitting playing because I had some other obligations. I didn't play the season, but I went through camp. And I knew at that point I was going to boot camp. I was going to the Navy. I knew what I was going to be doing in life. So I wasn't sitting up emulating nobody as far as no role model. As far as a role model, my father was in the military. He was in the Army. So I was either going to the Army. That was my first choice. Marine Corps was my second choice. But I wound up getting in the Navy, which wasn't even a choice at all. But I wound up going to the Navy. Best decision I ever made. because it gave me the life that I have now. It gave me the resume that I have now. But the point that I'm making is, when you're talking about role models, parents, you are the role model. People in the media need to quit saying, before I forget, coming across the monitor, segueing to breaking news, Doc Rivers has been fired by the 76ers. Breaking news. Doc Rivers has been fired by the Philadelphia 76ers. Breaking news. Doc Rivers has been fired by the Philadelphia 76ers. It's confirmed on the monitor. It is confirmed. Doc Rivers is out as the Philadelphia 76ers head coach for failing to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals however many times since he's been with that organization. All right, going back to what I was saying about role models. Parents, you have to be the role models in the home. So that way, when these young kids see John Morant and whoever else on TV doing something that isn't condoned by a lot of us in society, it's not affecting your kids. Because if your kids are going to own a gun, they're going to do what mom and dad taught them. Be responsible in everything that you do. If you get old enough to own a weapon, be responsible with your weapon. Go to in Louisiana, when I was in one school, they had a hunter safety course. They taught us how to shoot a skeet. They taught us how to they gave us a hunter safety course and everything on how to track animals, how to hunt, and you get your little hunter safety license. In Louisiana, they had programs. I hate to say it, they didn't have it in the predominantly African-American schools. They had it in the predominantly white schools. However, I was able to go to a predominantly white school for a little bit, and I was able to take that hunter safety course, and they issued me a hunter safety license. So I'm thankful for having the opportunity because I learned how to handle a weapon in high school, but they taught us how to handle it responsibly. So it's all about parenting at home. How are you teaching your kids about weapons, why you should have one, and if you're going to have one, how do you use it? How do you keep it on safe? How do you keep it in a safe if you got kids around? Why get on TikTok flashing the fact that you got a gun and all of these different things and all this stuff? I don't condone it, but I'm not against it because John Morant didn't break a law. Is what I'm trying to say. And I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm not condoning what Ja's doing, flashing his gun. I think it's kind of, you know, youngish to me, like some, and he's young, but I mean, you're a young millionaire. You're not a young broke person. You're a young millionaire. You've already made your millions and got more millions to come. You got a shoe deal. You got a Powerade deal on the table that's been held up. And the guys around Ja Morant should be telling him, hey man, chill. They should be trying to act as like co-managers, co-advisors or something, working with him like how LeBron James pulled all his friends in. Get with John. Y'all do the same kind of thing. LeBron James gave you the blueprint. When you got homeboys or family members or whatever that's close to you, y'all sit down. Bring them into the fold. Look at Lamar Jackson and his mom. Look at KD and his brother. I think KD's brother is his lawyer. Look at Kawhi Leonard and his uncle. I think his uncle is his agent. Look at Kyrie Irving and his stepmom. John Morant, you got all kind of examples of how to pull your homeboys in and y'all make y'all own firm, y'all own agency, y'all own management company. Hell, if you're going to get into guns, open up a damn armory. Do that. If you're going to get off into guns, Open up a gun store and open up an armory to where people can come in and get their weapons fixed or whatever. If you're going to be dealing with guns, make it profitable. If you're going to be talking about guns, talk about gun safety. Put a hunter safety course in the inner city communities where young black kids can go out and learn how to use a weapon properly, learn how to hunt. Learn how to use a weapon properly, shoot it properly. If you're going to be dealing with guns, make it a purpose, not just, oh, I'm on TikTok having fun with my gun. And I ain't knocking it. All I'm saying is this. He ain't broke no law. And I'm a John Morant fan. He ain't broke no law. But do I condone how he's putting himself out there? If the NBA is asking you to keep your gun activity private, you're making enough, they're paying you enough money, earning enough money to adhere to that. Just keep it private. On the monitor, they're saying, breaking news, the Sixers' search for a new coach is expected to include Mike Budenholzer, Sam Cassell, Mike D'Antoni, Nick Nurse, Frank Vogel, and Monty Williams, sources tell ESPN. This is credited to Adrian Wojnarowski. So that's the breaking news of coming across the monitor. Doc Rivers fired. If you'd like to call in and comment about Doc Rivers being fired by the Philadelphia 76ers as of right now, definitely call in the area code 515-602-9687. Call in the 515-602-9687. For those of you just tuning in, this is the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, WBEST, Chula Vista, California. Topic for today is NBA Western Conference Finals. We'll get back into some more of that stuff when we come back on the air. Right now, we're going to take a quick break to get away from this doggone John Morant story. And we're going to take a quick music mix, and we'll be right back. You've been listening to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, broadcasting live, Chula Vista, California. Time on deck is 8:26 a.m. 59 degrees Fahrenheit, cloudy in San Diego, California. We'll be back. Stand by. To the Stokers of Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with the live in the early morning on the Stokers of Beer Radio Show. Stokers of Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, WBEST, Chula Vista, California. Time on deck is 8:33 a.m., and it is 59 degrees Fahrenheit and cloudy in San Diego, California. Today's topic is, for those of you just tuning in, is NBA Western Conference Finals. The host of the Bay Professional Armchair Quarterback, regarding the sport they love, the most in front of a global listening audience. Topics to include but not limited to will be LA Lakers, Denver Nuggets, and scores and breaking news from the NBA, NHL, and MLB. Speaking of breaking news, we just had some breaking news from the NBA. Doc Rivers has been relieved of his duties with the Philadelphia 76ers. Doc Rivers has been released from his duties as head coach for the Philadelphia 76ers. If you'd like to call in and discuss, call in area code 515-602-9687. Put your hand up in and we'll come to you. All right. Doc Rivers being fired, that's not a shock, but kind of unfair to me, because Doc Rivers can only coach a team he can't play for. When you got the MVP on your team, and Joel Embiid, and then you got a player like James Harden and a supporting cast, they almost got a big three, because Embiid is so big, you might well count him as two people. So they got their big two, but, you know, I almost could say big two and a half, big three, because he's so big and powerful. One of the rare big men in the game that can actually shoot. I think him, Anthony Davis, and Nikola Jokic are the three big men, best big men in the game that can actually play down low and actually shoot the ball from the outside. Doc Rivers can't play for these guys, though. Just like Monty Williams couldn't play for his guys. One thing about it, this time of year is like Black Monday in the NFL. This time of year is like Black Monday for Black Monday, Black Tuesday, or whatever, for a lot of these coaches, because, you know, the NBA is just, this league is like fluid. It's constant motion, constant change, free agencies, players moving here, players moving there, coaches moving here, coaches moving there, coaches getting relieved, players getting released, all kind of different things. Because this league, the NBA, has to play as players, they have to pay guaranteed money. So it's going to be fluid. Anytime you have to pay a guy, pay players whether they produce or not, whether they can make it to the postseason or not, or make it deep, a deep postseason run or not, people get fired. Because the owner quite naturally saying, well, if the general manager got me paying you guys got to produce. How long do I have to wait for a championship? And I'm guessing if I'm an owner, I want to be in the championship every year, but what's realistic? Every 4 years, we need to be in a conference finals. After four seasons with one coach and we can't get to a conference final, where I got to make some moves. And so I guess I kind of like and understand what the owner and the general manager is saying. Hey, Doc, you're a hell of a coach, and you're going to find another job somewhere if that's what you choose to do. But right now, your voice in this locker room is not getting us after being here for however many years. And I think Doc Rivers has had Jimmy Butler at one time, right along with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. So, I mean, he's had some players. And I'm talking about the old Ben Simmons, the Ben Simmons that wasn't kind of like mentally distracted. I'm talking about the Ben Simmons coming out of LSU. They had him, Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid. I think all three of them were on the same team, if I'm remembering right. If I'm wrong, please call in and correct me or debate me on this issue. In area code 515-602-9687. Put your hand up in queue, and I'll come to you. But the point of the matter that I'm making as far as Doc Rivers go, is like the NBA is fluid. It's fluid, people. They're like, you know, movement's got to happen because the astronomical amount of money these players are making, these owners are like, man, if I'm making you guys millionaires like this, you guys are going to have to get somewhere. And it starts with the head coach. When the head coach can't get you after multiple years to the conference finals, and I think that they got to the conference finals one time. That's the year they lost to Toronto. The Sixers, they got there that one time. But after that, and I think how many – he's been – Doc dismissed by the 76ers after three seasons. So let's say two seasons ago, I guess they're saying that's when he was in. He had played Toronto, and they lost to Kawhi Leonard and Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet. They lost to them in Toronto. So for the last two seasons, they're saying that Doc, I guess, hadn't done nothing. For some reason, I don't know why, it just seems like he's been there longer than that. But he's only been there for three seasons. I'm thinking Doc was there when they played Toronto. Then I could be wrong. I got to go back and do my research on this. So that's why I say if I'm incorrect, people call in the 515-602-9687 to discuss. But Doc Rivers has been relieved of duties in Philadelphia for the 76ers in the NBA. But my point that I'm saying is that if I'm an owner, I'm looking at Doc like, okay, it's been 3 years. You haven't got us where we need to go. You got Joel Embiid, the MVP. You got James Harden. And, you know, you got these different pieces, and we haven't been able to get to where we need to go. So guess what? We're going to move off of you. But then they're saying trying to bring in Monty Williams. But why bring in Monty Williams when he just had the same problem in Phoenix? Monty couldn't move these guys to the conference final. I don't think. I mean, if I'm remembering, Chris Paul, and that squad, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, before Durant came, I think they might have went to the conference finals and got put out. But even with that, you're talking about anything short of a championship after 4 years. These coaches and these general managers and owners, they're trying to move off these coaches. Let me clean it up by saying that if I'm an owner and a general manager, if you've been a head coach three or four years, I got to move off of you, because if you're an owner, why am I going to pay you for another 4 years? You've been here for 3 years, you got the right pieces, and you can't win. Let me get somebody else in here and try somebody else with what we got, and then we'll make changes as we go. But after 3 seasons, maximum 4 seasons, and you can't get us to a championship, especially if we've been getting to the conference finals or pretty much close, you got to start looking, okay, if I can't get us to the conference final, or if I'm getting to the conference final and I'm still getting put out, can't make it to the chip, you got to make changes. Because you got to keep paying all these, players. So I got a guy, I got somebody calling in, you know, at they got their hand in queue. When I come to you, 9811, that's your last four, 9811. I'm coming to you now. Just state your first and last initial in the state you're calling from. And good morning. Good morning, caller. How you doing? 9811, go ahead.
Yes, sir. JJ from Illinois.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. I want to talk about how the Colts are going to kind of destroy everything this season. They brought that young buck up from Florida.
That
kid's a monster.
Well, they're saying that he's
I don't really think
move.
There's anything to compare that to. There's nothing really. I mean, that guy is over there being like the Hulk stuff.
Well, in my opinion, I think that based on what the experts are saying on the monitor is that he needs to develop. He needs to develop a little bit more. He's strong like Cam Newton, can kind of have that same similar game. Big arm, can run the ball, but skill-wise and accuracy, they're saying that he needs to develop a little bit more. I ask you this, though. If he's as good as you're saying he is, why in college that they didn't compete for an SEC championship? What happened?
The kid only played – this is a young buck that only played one season. He wasn't given the opportunity in his junior or sophomore year to actually run the show.
So there's a reason for that, right?
No, not really. They were just that was prestige. It was people trying to have the seniors play out, you know, to justify their picks before. Yeah, no, that guy is actually a monster. And Anthony Richardson is actually a scary character. And I think people should. I'm not saying run like he's Godzilla, but. Understand that guy is going to mess stuff up for the next, like, 5 years of the NFL.
Who's all in your division? You got Indianapolis, Tennessee. This is the NFC, AFC South, right? Indianapolis, Tennessee. Who else we got?
Texans, Jaguars.
Okay. So when you look at all these teams, who's the best quarterback in that division? That's easily Trevor Lawrence. Easily. Dan, who's the next best quarterback after that?
We always have this next year, I know. Everyone thought Tannehill was a bad A, but, you know, he's not. Yeah, no.
Well, they don't need Tannehill.
Richardson is definitely.
They don't need Tannehill.
That's all I was saying is though, Richardson is definitely the new coming.
I think he's going to make some noise, but you know, you got to look at it like this too. Who is this here? The other young man, Malik something from Liberty. I think Tennessee signed him. I think they're kind of similar.
No, you're talking about the young buck they signed behind Tannehill.
Right.
Willis
right.
or something? Malik, yeah.
He's the same type of player, and you see how that's working out. But the only reason why Tennessee can get away with that is because they have a running game with the big man, Derrick Henry. They got a running game, so they can get away with a little bit more. Indianapolis, they got a running game. You guys got a running game, too. Who's that running back you guys got that was making some noise?
Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, Taylor. So, I mean, you guys probably can get away with a little something. You know, I think you're going to have to run the ball a lot until your quarterback develops the right way.
This is a young buck. He's not going to start the first year. If he starts the first year, I'm angry.
Who's
There's no reason for this young
now that, who's the guy now that Matt Ryan left? Who's the guy now?
No, I don't know, man. I don't even know. They change quarterbacks every other season. I can't. I want this guy to be like a 10-year. I'm not even saying 10-year. I'm saying 10-year.
He's gonna start. Because
he's
like
not.
You just
he
said.
Better not start this first rookie year, man. No, that's not gonna be good for him.
Y'all quarterback room is weak. Like we can't even figure out who the quarterback is. So I think he's gonna wind up being like who is that? C.J. Stroud in Texas. He's gonna have to start. He's gonna have to start.
I would never put that on a young buck, bud. No.
You don't want to. But you know, didn't they do it with Trevor Lawrence? He came right out. And he had to start because they cut Tim Tebow, and I thought he was gonna learn behind Tebow, but they wind up cutting him. Well, he was playing tight end anyway. But I mean, whoever was in front of him, they think who was that? Was it Minshew? Who did they have? Jacksonville had Minshew in. Trevor Lawrence came in. Was it like that? I think that's the way
I'm
it
sorry.
Was.
I'm sorry. A plane was going overhead. What did you say?
I think like Jacksonville, when Trevor Lawrence came in, they had to start him because I think they had to get rid of who was behind him at first. Minshew, I think he was starting. Then they got rid of him, right? And then they gave the keys to Trevor Lawrence. And Trevor Lawrence, he done well. He had some struggles, but once they got the right coach in there, he's been doing well.
Yeah, I met the guy who owns the Jaguars up in Champaign, Illinois.
Oh, okay. What did he say? Or was y'all just popping by?
He had me on as security for another business, and I started carrying around that Colts little mug, and yeah, he wasn't very conversational with me after that because we're in competition.
It sounds like you kind of pissed them off. All right, man. But I want to thank you, man, for calling in to the show. We'll wish you guys luck for next season and everything like that. But definitely keep calling the show and everything. We want to thank you for having you on. All right. There was one of our callers calling in from Illinois talking about his Indianapolis Colts. I think he said he's calling in from Illinois, but he's a Colts fan up in Indianapolis. So I'm surprised. I should have asked him why you're not a Bears fan. But anyway, that was his take on what his team is going to be doing, segue into the NFL. You know, the rookie quarterback they drafted in from Florida Gators. I was just asking him. I said, well, you know, if this guy is y'all future, you know, why is he? You know, why did he do much in college? And he said, you know, well, they didn't give him a chance to his senior year. So my rebuttal is, I guess, a reason for that. One thing about sports people, you know, we look at a lot of things being unfair to certain players, or certain players didn't get this opportunity or that opportunity to show what they could do. It's a reason for it. And usually the reason for it is the person that's in front of them is either better or they're a prototypical athlete, meaning that they're 6 foot whatever, however many pounds, can't, as a quarterback, cannon arm, accurate arm, and can pass out of the pocket. They don't have to use their legs. Speaking of the player that he's talking about. So it's a lot of reasons when we say, well, the guy didn't get a great opportunity in college. It's a reason for that. Just like when guys say, well, I didn't make it to the NFL. It's a reason. It's a reason for it. That's something that I had to accept as a independent agent and manager in sports. And I do all three sports, Major League Baseball, NBA, and NFL. It's a reason when a guy doesn't make it to the highest level. Trust me, it's a reason for it. And the reason for you is the guy that's coming behind him or ahead of him is better. And you got to wait, or you're going to get benched so they can put the guy back in front. It's a reason why guys don't get an opportunity. So going back to, I think the young man, quarterback's name is Richardson, coming out of Florida, and the Indianapolis Colts is signing him. I told the gentleman that just called in, they're going to start that kid because the quarterback room is so weak. And he's a top pick, top first or fourth pick of the first round. I think he was the fourth pick, third or fourth pick, because he was Bryce Young, quarterback. C.J. Stroud, quarterback. They took a wide receiver, and then they took Richardson, if I'm correct, out of Florida. If I'm saying, I think that's the guy's last name, young man's last name. He think he's the fourth pick of the first round. They're going to start him. They got to pay him. He's playing. And the quarterback room is so weak, you might as well take a chance on him. You might as well take a chance on him. He's going to probably have to be just like, I don't think that in Chicago for the Bears, Justin Fields, I don't think he started outright, just like Kenny Pickens. But at some point, they're going to have to come to their kid, just like they had to go to Pickens and just like they had to go to Fields. At some point, they're like, hey, you drafted this guy high. After about four games of him watching, six games of him watching, now we'll let him go in there and get his stripes. Let him go in there and earn his stripes, because he's going to have to learn how to play football at that level. Going back to breaking news over the monitor, Doc Rivers has been fired from the Philadelphia 76ers. He's gotten fired. They let him go. And I was just saying, you know, basketball is fluid. It's fluid because at the end of the day, when you're trying to win and you got to pay all this guaranteed money, you know, it's like we got to do what we got to do and make some changes. We got to cut a coach. If he can't, after 3 or 4 years, he can't get me a championship, why am I keeping him? When you're paying this kind of money to these players, guaranteed money, you got to get championships. It can't be, well, we're in the playoffs every year. That ain't good enough, especially with this play-in tournament format, to where you got plenty of opportunities now. I think at least two more opportunities for each conference for teams to get into the playoffs. I mean, I believe it's the same amount of spots available, but the 7th and 8th seed is not guaranteed anymore. So other teams that's like that qualify for those two spots to compete in a tournament style, which I like it, compete in the play-in tournament. Look at the Lakers. Technically, the Lakers, did they come in? But they came in at the 7th spot or the 7th or 8th spot or whatever. But, I mean, they were already in, but they had to fight to keep their spot, if I'm correct. They had to fight to keep their spot, not earn it. But look at them now. So it's multiple opportunities for you to kind of come from the bottom and get into playoffs, whether you hold your spot, hold your position, or whether you trying to take somebody's spot, those last two spots. It's multiple opportunities. But when it all comes down to it, when it all comes down to it at the end of the day. When it all comes down to it at the end of the day, these owners are not going to be paying these they're not going to be paying these coaches to just get them to the playoffs. They're going to be paying these coaches to win them a championship. NBA schedule is going to go like this here. Tonight, what we got? Tonight we got the Lakers at Denver, 5:30 p.m. That should be Pacific Standard Time for me. So Los Angeles Lakers at Denver Nuggets tonight, 5:30 p.m. That should be 8:30 Eastern. Tomorrow, May 17th, we got the Miami at Boston. Miami's going to be at Boston, 5:30 p.m. And that's 8:30 p.m. Eastern. So tonight the big game is L.A. and Denver. A lot of people wondering is the battle between Jokic, the battle between Jokic and the battle between Anthony Davis. They're trying to figure out who's going to win that key matchup. I think it's going to be pretty even because when AD wants to play defense, when he wants to play and we come to play, and he know that this is going to get him another championship. This is going to shut everybody's mouth. If the Lakers get to the finals, to the NBA finals, and Anthony Davis can remain healthy through this Western Conference final, he's gonna shut everybody's mouth. Because let's be honest, when LeBron James was out and Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook was together and they was on point, they was holding it down while LeBron was hurt. They was holding it down. The problems came with the Lakers when Anthony Davis and LeBron James hurt. Russell Westbrook couldn't do it by himself. I'm not even putting everything on Russell Westbrook during that time at the beginning of the season, but Russell Westbrook, just like he did with the Clippers, he was available and he was trying to hold it down. And they were still right around 500 with AD and LeBron out. When AD was in with Russell Westbrook, or LeBron, AD, and Russell Westbrook was together, they were a 500 team at least. So, I mean, it's just injuries, I think, that messed them up. But then they made the changes, worked out for everybody. Russell Westbrook moved forward and basically wound up leading the Clippers through the playoffs because Kawhi Leonard and Paul George is hurt. So, I mean, it's like for Russell Westbrook, not to get on him, but it's just like he's been put in a position twice this year dealing with ailing superstars. And, you know, in whatever his discrepancies are at this age in his life, you know, his game couldn't speak to doing it by itself, but I think doing it with the other stars, I think he played well enough to me. Because they had to have been winning some games somewhere. That's why they qualified to be in the play-in tournament. And, you know, here they go. And like I said, Russell Westbrook went on and did his thing with the Clippers. But going back to AD, he's healthy now. And tonight against Jokic, I think that a healthy AD, mentally tough, mentally ready, I think that he's going to put up a good game against Jokic. Now, don't get me wrong. Jokic is no joke. He is no joke. So I'm just trying to figure out how it's all going to end up, how it's all going to wind up, because he's no joke. And Anthony Davis is going to have his hands full with him. But at the same time, Jokic is going to have his hands full with Davis. It's going to be back and forth. They're both going to give each other hell. Lakers at the Nuggets tonight, 8:30 Eastern. LeBron, 30 points, 10 to 14 field goals, 9 rebounds, 9 assists in the last game. Expectations for King James in game one. That's what they're asking across the monitor. Expectations for King James in game one. He's going to do what he do. He's going to play down low, trucking guys. They're going to have to keep him out of the paint. They're going to have to keep LeBron James out of the paint. He's going to play down low. He's going to play bully ball. He's going to make those guys try to shut him out. When they try to shut him down, he's just going to kick it out to AD. He's going to kick it out to Rui. He's going to kick it out to D-Lo. He's just going to kick the ball out if they try to shut him down in the middle. It's going to be a tough matchup for Denver. A lot of people thinking that Denver might just steamroll the Lakers. I don't know. You know, I'm kind of like, in my heart, I'm going for the Lakers. In my mind, I'm kind of going for Denver because the way, if Jamal Murray stays hot, he's on. And the supporting cast stays hot, they're going to be on. Then if Jokic is kicking on all cylinders, it's going to be a tough series. I see it going seven games. I see it going seven games. If it goes six games, I got the Nuggets. If it goes seven games, I got the Lakers. The longer it goes, the better chance the Lakers got to win. This ain't across the mind of why Kevin Durant needs to change in Phoenix. I don't know what he's supposed to change. What he's supposed to change. Then asking how Victor Wembanyama will change the NBA. I don't think he's going to make a significant impact just yet because he's not big enough. He's going to have to put on some weight. Just like Chet Holmgren for the Oklahoma City Thunder, same type of player, 7 foot something, skinny as a rail. And they both got pretty much the same type of talent because Chet can play too. I'm trying to remember what Chet came out of. I think he came out of Gonzaga. Chet Holmgren, I think he came out of Gonzaga. But he's going to have to, both of those guys will have to put on weight. But what I wouldn't suggest is when they bring this young man, Victor Wembanyama, in, I don't think that they should try to put him in these NBA summer leagues. Let his body rest, rehab him, so he can be ready for the play. Because if you do like Chet Holmgren, go out there and play in these summer leagues and then wind up getting hurt, it's kind of, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me. Some of these older guys, some of these older free agent type of guys, I see them playing in summer league. Bunch of stars like KD and all these different guys, KD, Kyrie Irving, all these different guys, they don't need to be playing in that stuff. Because as soon as they get out there, somebody gonna want to play like a goon and hurt one of these guys. Or some freak accident happen. Stars need to just be rehabbing, and just doing their private training sessions. I don't agree with these guys playing in all these summer leagues. Just saying across the monitor, KD Booker involved in Suns firing Monty Williams. Better question, Kevin Durant's decision making here. So they're saying across the monitor, KD went to the owner and said, get Monty Williams out of here. So KD, again, coming to a new team. We're hearing the same rumors. I don't know if there's any truth to this. We're hearing these same rumors from Brooklyn that KD and Kyrie, they want to be the coach of the team. They don't need a coach. Now you're over here. You got KD and Booker involving the Suns firing of Monty Williams. I guess they want to be the coach of the team. Come on, guys. If you'd like to call in and comment on this topic, call in Erico 515-602-9687. Time on deck is 9:04 a.m. It is 59 degrees Fahrenheit and cloudy in San Diego, California. Our topic for today, for those of you just tuning in, was NBA Western Conference Finals, L.A. Lakers versus the Denver Nuggets. We've been talking about that, and we'll get back to some of that when we come back from break. We're going to take a quick station break, and we'll be back. Stand by. Hello and welcome back to the Stokers of Air Radio. So I am your host, Romero Friend, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers of Air Radio Show. Our topic for today is NBA Western Conference Finals. Across the monitor today, they got NBA Draft Lotteries tonight ahead of the Lakers-Nuggets Game 1. Expect Victor Wembanyama to be a franchise-changing prospect. Not this year coming up. You know, a little bit later on, I see him doing some stuff once he puts some weight on. He definitely has the skill, seems to have the skill set. He's did pretty good against the G League Ignite team. You know, he's got the skill. He got the numbers. It's just going to be how does his international game translate to the NBA, which the NBA has pretty much became an international league as well. They got a lot of imports. But I don't see him having a big first year. He needs to put on some weight. I kind of look at it like if he's playing against Shaquille O'Neal and you Victor Wembanyama, even though he's a little taller, Shaq would have trucked him. If you're playing against an Akeem Olajuwon, who wasn't a big man, but his skill set, I don't think Wembanyama is there. If you're playing against Patrick Ewing back in the day, who's a big man, I don't see I can't see him dominating any of those guys. You're playing against Charles Barkley, and he wasn't even a center. He's more of a power forward, if I'm correct. But he could probably play the center position, too, if he wanted to. I don't see Victor Wembanyama dominating him. I'm a big thing on height is one thing, weight is another. Height is one thing, skill is one thing, weight is another. A big man that got skill and that's not that big is Kevin Durant. But I don't see this kid Wembanyama being a sniper. Kevin Durant is a sniper. I mean, this guy he got good. He has a good all around game. Don't get me wrong, and he can hit from long range. But I'm saying I don't think that he's a Kevin Durant type of player to where KD is almost virtually unstoppable. When he wants to be, he can take over a game whenever he gets ready. That's pretty much been the problem. They're like, he's not taking over games like he should. Well, Kevin Durant's the type of guy, when he goes somewhere, he's going to, you know, he's not going to try to take over a team. He's going to fit in. He's not going to be that LeBron James. Well, I'm going to come in and just take it over. And I think LeBron James even had issues when he joined the Miami Heat. It was Dwayne Wade's team. He was like, well, I'm not coming here trying to shake up nothing. I'm trying to help Dwayne Wade. But Dwayne Wade was like, no, you're the future. Take it over. It's your team now. And once they made that adjustment, championships started to come. I think Miami got at least two or three while LeBron James was there. Definitely two. So when it all comes down to it, this kid, Victor Wembanyama, I think that he's going to have to put on some weight and get stronger before we can just say he's going to be a franchise-changing prospect. The other thing is that if the Charlotte Hornets win this draft tonight, if Charlotte wins this lottery pick, the number one pick, and they take him, I think Michael Jordan has left, gave up his stock in the companies, and get somebody else bought him out, if I'm correct, if I'm remembering right. However, if Jordan is there or not, I'm just saying that I'm thinking that that's going to be an issue because it's going to be a shakeup in the front office with him leaving. And then, you know, the franchise is already struggling. They only have one player. One player that's a star, that's LaMelo Ball, and he's been riddled with injuries here and there. I think he got something going on with an ankle injury or something like that. I don't think it's a knee. I think it's an ankle that's been plaguing him, but he's their star. And he's another young star. So you're going to have two young guys, young stars. If you're going to have two young stars, you're going to have to bring in a good solid vet in there to work alongside of them. One or two good solid free agent vets, in my opinion, to work alongside of them for them to be effective altogether. But Charlotte is a struggling team, and all these other struggling teams out there, you maybe had it's a lot of struggling teams out there that could possibly get him. But if you're looking at trying to take this young man and make him your franchise superstar in year one, he's probably not going to do well. he's probably just not going to do well. Now, if he was like Zion Williamson coming to the New Orleans Pelicans, who had Ingram and some other pieces, you know, AD was going out the door, but they still had pieces there for the play with Zion Williamson. That's an ideal situation, and that was an ideal situation. I think we got him. New Orleans got the number one pick, and we had him. We was able to get Zion Williamson. But they had pieces there, pieces already there, pieces that had played in a big market like L.A. Ingram, then they finally wound up getting C.J. McCollum, and he had played in Portland right alongside of a superstar in Dame Lillard. So, I mean, for Zion Williamson, I think the road was a little bit easier to make it. But then you look at somebody like a Chet Holmgren. He went to Oklahoma City. He would have probably did good because they had Oklahoma City had pieces this year. They had, you know, some good players, and they were battling for the playoffs. I think they wound up putting New Orleans out anyway. So I mean, Victor Wembanyama going to a team like that, like Chet Holmgren did last year, but he didn't play. I think he'd be more successful. I just think that Wembanyama is going to get on a team that's garbage. And he's going to be the best player as a rookie coming in. And that's not a good formula for success. If I was him, I'd be asking to be traded to somewhere like Philadelphia or Phoenix. I'd be coming in barking for a trade. Send me to a contender right now. I'm not playing for y'all. I'd be like, send me to Phoenix and get Ayton, send DeAndre Ayton over across town to play for somebody else. So they ain't across town to play for somebody else. And so I would do something like that. I would force a trade and get out of here. So, you know, when it's all said and done, you know, it is what it is. But we'll see what happens with it. We'll go off into another station break real quick, and we'll be back shortly. Hello and welcome back to the Stokers and Bit Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog. Keeping with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Bit Radio Show. Breaking news for the day in the NBA. Doc Rivers has been relieved of his duties in Philadelphia for the 76ers. If you'd like to call in and discuss that topic, call in 515-602-9687. You can call in and talk about that topic or any other topic that you want to talk about that's sports related. Big news for the day overshadowing the big game tonight with the Lakers and the Nuggets is Ja Morant facing more disciplinary actions for brandishing a gun in a TikTok video. Doing a video, I guess, listening to some music in his car with his buddy, and I guess they both had guns or whatever. Like I said earlier in the show, I didn't feel like Ja Morant was doing anything that was illegal. I mean, he's not shooting people and everything like that. But when you look at the agreement between him and the NBA, is that any type of actions that may be considered detrimental to the league as far as the league's imaging, they can basically say, hey, we don't like it. We're going to fine you, suspend you, require you to do counseling or whatever because you're tarnishing our brand. You're part of this league and you're tarnishing the brand of the league by doing stuff like that. We got all kind of sponsors, all kind of advocates and everything that deal with this league. And right now, gun violence, mass shootings is a hot topic, and we don't need our players letting people peek into your personal life. When it comes down to what's your opinion about guns, it just needs to not be a topic for the NBA. So I understand what the NBA is doing. They're trying to keep their image clean. We don't need our young black millionaire athletes having an image of what people would like to say you're a street thug, I guess. So when it all comes down to it, that's kind of like, I think, the message that they're trying to convey to all the players that, hey, we don't want to be associated with any hot topics right now, whether it's racism, like with Kyrie Irving. You know, he made a statement about the relationship between blacks and Jewish people or whatever the case may be. And so when it all come down to it, they punished him, fined him, suspended him, and made him do counseling and all this stuff because right now race is a hot topic. You know, with the George Floyd incident and certain other ones, you know, police against black people type of thing. You know, the Trump era with the Proud Boys and all this stuff. You know, race is a hot topic, and then this mass shootings with guns, it's a hot topic. The NBA is trying to stay away from all that and just keep everything about ball. Do I understand it? Yeah. But at the same time, did Ja Morant break any law? No, because there's no one that's going to convict him of anything. You know, he might get convicted in the court of public opinion. He might get convicted by the NBA. But he's not going to be convicted or charged with anything by anyone in Memphis, Tennessee, where he lives currently. They're saying that Tennessee has an concealed carry. Tennessee has a concealed carry law. You can have a concealed weapon on you at all times. Some states have open carry. I think Florida is open carry. You can have open carry in Florida. So it just depends on the state that you're living in. So if they have an open carry law and you see Ja Morant open carrying in Florida, guess what? What can you do about it? Only thing you can do is keep trying to discipline this guy. But some of this stuff, you know, you're talking about young kids. These kids are young millionaires. And that's why I think they were saying here the other day on the monitor, they were mentioning that when these kids play ball in college, it's they have the time to grow up. About the time they come out of college, you know, they're a certain age. If they do 4 years of college, 4 or 5 years, you know, depending on the eligibility, they come out refined, ready to go. But when you got a guy like a Ja Morant, who I don't know if he did all his years, I think he might have did 1 to 2 years at Murray State, if I'm correct, and he came on out because he was such a phenom. And I understand that, you know, I want to go get this bag before I hurt myself and can't make the money. I think that it needs to be sort of like, you know, you have to finish up your college obligation to come out. That way you won't have a lot of these young millionaires that, like they say, you know, these guys go on a trip. They can't even go to the bar and order a drink. They can't even rent a car. They're just young millionaires that, you know, they're playing around all these grown people. Why should you have a bunch of kids, in my opinion, around a bunch of grown men with a bunch of different habits? So I think that if they restructure when these players can come into the league, I would say sign them. You can sign them while they're in college on a futures deal, but they got to finish their 4 years of college. Number one, so they can finish their education. Number two, so they can get refined, understand how to be. College teaches you how to be a professional. That's what it's there for. It teaches you how to be a pro, just like if you go to school to be a doctor. What are you learning? You're doing internships, on-the-job training, all kind of stuff, and you're being taught by people that's been in the field for a long time. They're teaching you how to have a professional career when you leave college, and that's whatever your profession is going to be, and it's, as well as if you're an athlete, it's teaching you how to operate as a professional. And they're saying that because the NBA, because the NFL, you can't come in the NFL straight out of college. You have to do a two years in college. And I think that does kind of offset some of the immaturity that the NBA deals, because they're taking kids straight out of high school in some cases. Now, that's not Ja Morant's situation. I know he did do 1 or 2 years, but I'm just saying I'm just talking about broad spectrum in general, that, you know, some of this stuff will go away. Some of the negative images that a lot of our young black players, excuse me, people, a lot of our young black players are putting out negative images in sports because we probably haven't stayed in school long enough to get the point. I think even 2 years is not long enough. You go to college at 18, so 2 years, you're what, 19, maybe 20? You're 20 years old, and then you're going into a big boys game in the NFL or in the NBA, Major League Baseball, whatever the case may be. Think that you haven't been there long enough. That's why they say college is a four-year institution. It's not a JUCO. It's a college, university level. Is a four-year institution. You go to junior college, that's 2 years, and then you transfer out, you go do another 2 to 3 years in college. By that time, you've gained knowledge and professionalism. That's just my opinion. But did Ja Morant do anything wrong? Am I condoning what he did? No. Am I disagreeing with what he did? No. I'm kind of like in the middle. He had the right to have a gun. It's his gun. He was in his car. He was doing a video, okay? Now, do I condone what he did? No, because you're messing up your money. It ain't my money, but at the same time, you're messing up your money, and the NBA says, hey, we want you in this league. You're a young star. We don't want you portraying that image, and you're getting paid very well for what you're doing. So when you get paid well for what you're doing, you just comply. You comply. Because you're making money that some of us will never see. You got a shoe deal. I won't have a shoe deal. I won't be your height. I won't be able to jump like you. I won't be able to make that kind of money or even compete for that kind of money. You're already there. They're paying you well. Condone, do what you're supposed to do, what they're asking you to do. Because you got generational wealth that most of us won't have. You have generational wealth. With that being said, again, across the monitor, 76ers fire head coach Doc Rivers after 3 seasons. I feel like Doc Rivers getting fired is fair. I feel like it's fair because these coaches are paying these coaches are getting paid so much money. And then on top of that, the players are getting paid money on these guaranteed contracts. If you can't get in 3 to 4 years a championship or in the Western Conference Finals, If you already been going to the conference finals and can't get a chip, you got to go. If you've been getting to the playoffs but not getting to a conference finals, you got to go. You got three to four years to try to make something happen. 3 to 4 years trying to make something happen to keep your job. Doc will land on his feet somewhere. There's plenty of teams out there that needs coaches. They're talking about possibly interviewing Monty Williams to come in for this 76ers job. Will that work? I don't know. I don't know if it'll work or not. He just got let go, and he had a hell of a team. They didn't have a bench, but he had a hell of a starting unit. They got put out by the Nuggets. So when it all comes down to it, I don't know. Nuggets versus Lakers, Western Conference Finals. Nikola Jokic prepared to face new team in Lakers this postseason. I think when they played earlier, I don't think that this current team with Rui Hachimura, D'Lo, and Vanderbilt and all them, I don't think they was on that team. But it's just going to be a hell of a game. It's going to be a hell of a game tonight. I'm looking forward to seeing Nikola Jokic go against AD. I think they're both going to be at their best. They're both going to be in upwards of 30 points tonight. And then you got D'Lo, and then you got Jamal Murray. I think Jamal Murray is a better shooter than D'Lo. But the X factor in this whole thing is always going to be LeBron James. How are you going to stop him? How are you going to stop LeBron James down low? Who do they have? They're saying Gordon. Gordon can do it. Gordon can hold him. Well, you can only try to contain LeBron James. You can only try to contain him. We're going to go to a quick station break. I'm going to try to get my man DC from Baltimore, Maryland on here to give me a couple predictions and his thoughts on Ja Morant, his thoughts on Doc Rivers getting fired, and his comments on the Baltimore Ravens being projected as number two in their conference as far as getting to the Super Bowl or whatever the case may be. So we're going to take a quick station break real quick, and I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Stogies of Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Foran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, keeping with you live in the early morning on the Stogies of Beer Radio Show. I'm going to do an attempt to guest call in with my man, D.C., out of Baltimore, Maryland, to see if he'll pick up. I just want his take on a couple things. I don't hardly do a live guest call in, but I'm going to try one right now. So if he gets a little shaky, give me a break. I'll try to, if he don't answer after two rings, I'm going to hang it up so it don't go to his voicemail, but stand by. Yeah, my man DC, I was trying to give him a call. I don't know if he picked up or not. I'll try him again. Let me try him again. using this guest call-in feature. Voicemail. Well, maybe he'll call in later. Anyway, trying to get my man DC from Baltimore, Maryland, on him to give me a couple takes on all these firings today, gunplay with John Morant, all this crazy stuff. He always gives me a good take on some stuff like that, but maybe he's tied up in some meeting, in some meetings in his professional business, but we'll get him back up on the air. Davante Adams believes his 2022 season with the Raiders proved he didn't need Aaron Rodgers. Davante Adams believes his 2022 season with the Raiders proved he didn't need Aaron Rodgers. That's a possibility, segueing over to the NFL. Adams arguably was supposed to be the best receiver in the game coming out of Green Bay, wanted to go play with his buddy in Las Vegas, trying to see if he's going to force a trade or force to be released out of Vegas now that, Derek Carr is not there. So we'll see what happens. We'll keep our eye on that in the coming weeks. You know, as rookie minicamp wraps up and then they start getting ready to go into summer camp for the NFL. But I hate when the media starts asking stupid questions like, well, do you think you needed Aaron Rodgers? No one needs anyone, people. You like to play with people. Combinations of quarterback, receiver has to work to win games. But when you start asking a man, hey, man, do you think that you needed Aaron Rodgers? I think it just caused a lot of problems between these players. You know, nobody needs anybody. Like when they ask the question, well, did Belichick need Brady to win, or did Brady need Belichick to win? People, it's just combinations of who you got. I don't think Belichick is in any lesser stature than he was when Tom Brady was there. Tom Brady was there, they won a lot. Tom Brady left, they're not winning a lot. You got a whole nother quarterback. Mac Jones ain't Tom Brady. A couple other pieces, you know, that's retired, moved on or whatever, other free agents coming in, they're not those dynasty teams. Doesn't seem like Bill Belichick is any worse of a coach or any less of a coach. I mean, his stature has not changed as a coach. If you put him with a winning team, if you start Bill Belichick to the Dallas Cowboys. That's a playoff team. Not the highest playoff team, he's going to win. You send him to the 49ers. That's a playoff team. He's going to win. It's all about how the general manager constructs the team and what the owner is willing to pay to get a winning team. And we do know in New England, they have it set up to where they don't pay a lot of money. They keep everybody under the salary cap so they can make the key changes they need to make to continue to win. Before I get off here, I want to go off into some things about my personal business, Ed Ferran, with the Best Sports Career Management and Advisor Service in San Diego, California. If you're a free agent out there that's no more than 2 years removed from your last college game, I have a service to where I can help get you placed. If you'd like more information about getting on a team through my efforts, if you're still at home, just working out, waiting on the phone ring, waiting on the opportunity, and you've gotten to the point to understand that if you've been out of college for 2 years, you're probably not getting a call to the NFL. You're not going to be able to make it through the traditional route, meaning going through the draft, that's over with for you. Finding an agent that's going to invest money into you and use his resources to get you a team, that's out. You're going to have to come to the conclusion that you're going to have to do it another way, whether that's go overseas and play in Europe for Euro players and all that stuff. You know, get on their website and try to get you some work overseas and get some film, get it back to me, and then I can try to get you a situation for the CIFL, Champions Indoor Football League, IFL Indoor Football League, American Arena League. I think they're coming back as well. Fan Control Football League, they're claiming to come back for next next spring. They took a year off. Then in the NAL National Arena League, I have those pro developmental minor league opportunities for you to develop. And as you develop, keep getting me film, and I can keep sending it out to my contacts for the USFL currently, sending out trying to get your opportunity in the USFL. I'm still trying to build relationships for the XFL, but the way I do the XFL is if I can get you into the Indoor Football League, IFL, they already have a relationship where they move players up. I did see that they did move one player up from a team that one of my clients are on, the Tucson Sugar Skulls. They took an offensive lineman, moved him up to the D.C. Defenders, and I'm quite sure that young man wound up playing offensive lineman in the championship game, or at least he was on that roster. So he moved from the IFL up to the XFL, and he was in the championship game. And you never know if he played well for those couple games he was there, he might get an opportunity to come and do a rookie minicamp. It can happen, people. You just got to take it to the non-traditional route. I want to give a big shout-out to my guy, Pat Isbell, out there in Phoenix, Arizona. I want to give a big shout-out to him for getting the contract signed over in Europe. He took the Euro players route, gave him a deal he couldn't refuse. You know, that I don't know why my team's in the IFL, CIFL. Didn't want to pick him up. Excuse me, people, I'm coughing on air. I don't know why they didn't want to pick him up. No problem. I don't tell a coach how to select his players. And then, again, like I was talking to me and his dad was having a conversation. I was just saying, I think it just they're looking for the prototypical player in those leagues that I sent him to. They want the edge rusher to be, you know, 6'3", 6'4", and he's you know, right about 6 feet. So just that's how tough it is. Just those three or 4 inches can stop you from getting where you're trying to go. So you got to take another route. He's going to take the Euro players route, playing with a team in Finland. Their mascot is called the Saints. I can't think of who they are right now, but let me see if I can go to my Twitter account and see if I can pull up who that is that he's playing for. He's going to be playing for the Tampere Saints. So his post is saying, blessed to have signed my second contract to play professional football overseas for the Tampere Saints, who play in Finland, first division. So he's going to be playing in Finland for the first division. This is the second time going over. He was playing for Frankfurt, Germany the first time. Got good tape, so he's going to go back to Finland and get some more tape, playing for the Tampere Saints, get some more film for me and everything like that, so I can continue to shop him out over here on this side of the pond until his opportunity comes. It's all about taking advantage of the opportunities that are presented to you at that time. I also want to give a shout-out to my man, Jeff Jeckham with the Las Vegas Nighthawks. He got a game-saving interception the other night. If anybody follows the show, you know Jeffrey Jeckham was a cadet at Army West Point when he did his obligated service over in the European theater, and he wound up doing coming back after his obligated service, getting an opportunity for the play for the Las Vegas Nighthawks and Mike Davis, head coach Mike Davis. And so he did good last year, you know, playing safety. And then he wound up getting an opportunity to go into the USFL for the Memphis Showboats. He was in camp all the way to the last cuts. And then he wound up taking an opportunity to go back to the and develop some more down in Las Vegas for the Nighthawks with Coach Mike Davis. And so he had a game-saving interception. So that training coming from the USFL done him good going back down, getting some more film on tape, and we're looking to move him back up again either later this season or definitely next season, whether that be the USFL again or the XFL. We'll see how it all plays out. But big shout-out to Jeff Jeckham with the Las Vegas Nighthawks in the Indoor Football League. Once again, if you'd like to know how to work with me, call in, hit me up on Twitter at Ferran Sports. That's at capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D, capital S-P-O-R-T-S, at Ferran Sports, one word. And then I have a pin post at the top of my profile about price packaging, consultation packaging, prices for, again, prices for service, prices for consultation. And if you pay for the consultation, I just add it to the service fee. So it's, you're not really losing any money. Any situation I can get you in, it's going to be a situation to make your money back. So I tell a lot of guys all the time, when you invest in me, I'm putting you back in a situation to get your investment back. I'm not 100%, but I feel like I'm about 80, 85% in getting guys after they pay me on roster so they can make their money back. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and close out the show and everything like that. Today was NBA Western Conference Finals. That was our topic. The host will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sports they love the most in front of a global listening audience. Topics to include but not limited to that. We're going to have a good game tonight that should start tonight. We got the Lakers at Denver, 5:30 p.m. Lakers at Denver, 5:30 p.m. Tomorrow we'll have Miami at Boston at 5:30 p.m. 5:30 p.m. is Pacific Standard Time, so those games on the East Coast will be played at 8:30 and then 7:30 Central. So we've had a good show today. Thankful to my guest calling in from Illinois, I believe. If it wasn't Illinois, it was Indiana. But he was calling in talking about the quarterback situation in the for the Indianapolis Colts and where they're probably going to be in the standings for next year. So we talked about that. I haven't heard any big-time breaking news about the NFL right now that Lamar Jackson has been signed. But it's a lot of stuff going on, going into the NFL summer camp. We'll have more headlines for that. But in the NBA, glooming over the game today is just the whole thing with John Morant and this gun situation. Brandishing a gun. Or showing a gun, however you want to look at it, on TikTok while he was in his personal vehicle with his buddy listening to some music or something. Again, I don't condone it because the NBA has its image standards. So they're paying you well, follow the image standards. But at the same time, did he commit a crime? Is he doing a mass shooting or anything like that? No, he's not. So I'm kind of like on the fence with it. I would suggest that he don't do it. But if he chooses to do it, I feel like this is right as a gun owner, and you know he owns a gun legally. He's not a criminal. He's not doing a mass shooting. That's his right. So, with that being said, again, big shout out to Pat Isbell for signing this contract over there with the Tempere Saints over in filling in Euro Division One. So, wishing him good luck over there. He'll be taking off, I believe, on the 27th of this month and be over there for a couple months. They'll be doing about 7 to 10. Games over there, and then the playoffs if they make it. But he'll be giving me some good tape to prove his case that he belongs definitely in the IFL or the NAL. So we'll get that tape from him. Again, big shout out to my guy Jeff Ajekum down there with the Las Vegas Nighthawks, making a key interception to save the game this past weekend. All right, if you want to work with me again with my company and my management services for athletes trying to get on a basketball, baseball, or football, professional, developmental, or minor league roster to move up, go to my page at Ferran Sports, at capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D, capital S-P-O-R-T-S, at Ferran Sports on Twitter. It'll be information pinned to the top of my profile on how you can work with me. It is 9:50 a.m., 61 degrees Fahrenheit, mostly cloudy here in San Diego, California. You've been listening to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, and I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Stokers and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Fridays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and that'll translate to 11 a.m. to 1 a.m., 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. East Coast time. We'll be back on tomorrow. We're going back to our regular schedule that we had before, 2 hours a day, Monday through Thursdays, most Mondays through Thursdays, unless I got something going on, like I tell everybody all the time. If when you're a sole proprietor and you don't have a staff, when I get sick, the show gets sick. When I got business to take care of, the show got business to take care of. I try to keep that to a limit or come on earlier or later in some cases. But I'm trying to get back on my regular show format. I might be a little shaky moving forward. Just bear with me. I'm getting my sea legs back up under me to give you a good performance every day. And but we'll be back tomorrow. I want to tell everybody to pray for peace around the world. Pray for wars to stop, mass shootings to stop. Pray for gun legislature when it comes down to mental health requirements to own a gun. Pray for peace around the world. Make sure you get your flu shots. I think the flu is still out there. Make sure you get your flu shots, your RSV shots if you're past 50. Make sure you keep your eye out for this mpox or monkeypox stuff. Keep your hands sanitized. Watch how you're making contact with people. Do all that good stuff. Keep your mask on in crowded places. I still see some people still wearing their mask. I'm trying to get back to wearing mine. But definitely make sure, if you're not going to wear a mask, make sure you get your COVID-19 booster up to date. All right, with that being said, everybody be encouraged out there. Be love, not hate. Be light, not darkness. With that being said, have a great day. We're going to set black and fade off. See you tomorrow.